there. It's a part of it. Okay. So they call it secondary trauma. They call it vicarious trauma, compassion fatigue. These are all words for the same thing. We take care of other people. Sometimes our reactions are a result of the fact that it triggers something from our past that we experienced, some traumatic experience we had, and sometimes it's just that extended experiences of interacting with people who have significant trauma histories is traumatic in itself. And sometimes we also remember, when you're working in the field, you often want to believe that it is secondary trauma and it's not primary trauma. But if you are a witness to domestic violence, which we all probably have been in the field, it's primary trauma. So I also want to make a distinction between the two. We will always like to call it vicarious trauma in this field. We're always going to want to call it that when we're working. But it's not always vicarious trauma either, and I want to acknowledge that. Sometimes it's primary trauma. Over in some of our day program settings, we work with people who have serious issues with aggression. So if you are the recipient of somebody's aggressive behavior, that is not vicarious. That is primary. And I think we also need to acknowledge that. And if you can acknowledge it in the moment, I think the impact is much less, right? That you can then deal with it. If you're not acknowledging it in the moment, and then, you know, a month later, someone walks up behind you and you jump 10 feet in the air, you're not going to realize what that was. You're just going to say, why am I so jumping today, right? Well, because a month ago, you know, you had this experience. So I think it's important also that sometimes we know the difference between what's primary and vicarious. Not that it matters, because it all impacts how we feel. I mean, it does matter, you know, because knowing the root of it helps us then cope and deal with it. Vicarious trauma is the emotional duress that results when an individual hears about the firsthand trauma experiences of another, or even experiences the emotion of another, right? Because Mary and Sarah talk about mirror neuron, Sarah, Mary especially, right? Your feelings are then reflected back to me, and then those, sometimes I feel that way too. Those are mirror neurons. So it's also just experiencing that emotion, because then you're experiencing that emotion too. You know, have you ever had a day where you're sitting in a meeting and a parent says something and they leave the room and you just cry?
Cried, but I think I've been angry.
I've cried. I mean, I would say I've cried, right? Or I've been angry, right? Or anger is another experience. Yeah, that might be experience.
Anger because they're angry, yeah.
So it could mimic symptoms of PTSD. And individuals affected by secondary stress may find themselves re-experiencing personal trauma or notice an increase in arousal and avoidance reactions related to indirect trauma exposure. We go home and we just want to lie on our couch, and our significant others have no understanding of why that is. Right? Because I cannot talk to one more person today.
Yeah, that
I cannot.
That's right, Rachel, because I always think, gosh, this job is so draining. And I've done nothing physical all day.
Right.
I guess it's that emotional.
Exhausting. Yeah. And you go home and you're exhausted. Mm-hmm. And as you know, I think it's important that we recognize what that is, because then we have to make some intentional decisions. And I'll be the first one to admit I struggled with those intentional decisions. I was talking to one of our coworkers yesterday who has lost, I don't know how much weight, but a lot. And she's walking 2 miles every morning. She's getting up and she's walking 2 miles every morning. She looks good, she sounds good, she seems good. Like, I see a noticeable difference. That's not easy, it's intentional. Mm-hmm. And that is self-care. That is exactly what that is. And I was glad I spoke with her yesterday, coincidentally, because I was doing this today. If you are going home every day and you're lying on the couch and you're exhausted and you can't figure out why, we could come up with, I should go to the doctor, maybe you should. Right? I'm not saying people shouldn't figure that out, but I think a lot of times, it's really this. It's compassion fatigue.
I go home every day and take a nap
at 3
o'clock.
Right. Why am I so tired? Oh, it's because I'm 52. That's what it is. Right? Me. Except I know a lot of 52-year-olds who run marathons, so it's not that, right? It's not 52. So, you know, so you You try to convince yourself that this is something else to avoid taking intentional action. I do it all the time. And I am gearing up right now myself to walk, to do some sort of walk every day. It's gonna happen. But I think it takes a lot of work. It's work to maintain. And none of us want to work because we're so tired. So what do we do? All right.
Tomorrow.
That's what I. Another suggestion I have is I think that we tell people, here are the resilience factors. Have we all seen these? Everybody here has seen these, right? Okay. So we'll start at the bottom. Having a sense of agency.
Is that word, okay, this is the one I get hung up on, but is agency where you like have like some outward expression that you're working, you know, that like you matter in the world kind of thing?
You know, it's really
like the things that I do.
What decisions can I make for myself? Who am I? What do I want? This is also self-esteem is sort of buried in here as well. What do I want? Where do I want to go? Who am I? It's not, we used to call it autonomy. We don't call it autonomy anymore because to people autonomy meant you were doing something by yourself. You were doing something independently. That's not what that is. It's really, what do I want? Where am I going? And who am I going to do that with? It's that sort of thing. Self-esteem is similar to having a sense of self. But agency is really, I know how to get it done. I know where I'm going. I can do it with you. We can do it together. We can make it happen together. It's not you doing it to me or for me, or, you know, we're doing, it's a with me thing. And it's a comfort level with that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It is the hardest one, by the way, having a sense of agency. Self-esteem.
It's like your personal feeling about yourself.
And self-efficacy. I matter. I have talents. I can contribute. I have self-worth. I know what I like, similar to agency. I feel okay with that. What are external supports?
Friends, family.
Could be.
I mean, it could be agencies, like, you know, community supports.
Yep. Anything outside of your body, a teddy bear. Can be faith. Can be something you wear on your wrist to remind you of something. We need to intentionally think about what those are. That's what we did here. So a lot of this, if you take everything back to people, people need to know this is intentional. This stuff doesn't just happen. Affiliation, what's that? Right, where people know your name. It's cheers, actually.
Does it count when you walk in a restaurant and they know exactly what you order, they don't even bring the menus no more?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
When I go into Starbucks in the morning and they say, you just want your coffee? Well, all they sell is coffee, well, pretty much, almost. I mean, they sell other things, but mostly it's coffee, right? No, it's my coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want your coffee? It's
it
like,
does
yes,
make
I want.
You feel good because we go to Mama's Grill. I don't know if you know where that is.
Yeah.
In Williamsburg, and we have a waitress there that she sees us coming in the door. She has our coffee ready. She has our place mat.
Isn't
everything
it nice?
Out for us.
It is
nice. It makes you feel so good.
It
we
does.
Also think that we go there too much when they have us.
Yeah.
So they do. They're like, aren't you the one that orders? You know,
my uncle's like that. Every like Wednesday he goes to Highway 55, every other Friday at Hooters, and then the Fridays he's not at Hooters, he's down at the boathouse. And they just know us, all three of them know when he walks in, his table says, reserved for.
Then there's a guy who comes into Mama's who has a menu item named after him. And just since we're talking about Mama's, right? And he's a guy who we serve. And he is just so, you know, he tells you about that every time you meet, anyone who meets him, you're going to know about that. That's huge. It's a
huge
thing, right? Because he goes in every day, they know they're going to see him, he knows he's going to see them. That is agency, that's external support, that's affiliation, that's all of that, right?
And what's even better is when you get to the cash register and somebody else has paid for your meal.
Oh,
that's we've had that several times.
That's amazing. The other thing is understanding that not just does it matter to you that when you go places it makes you feel better and that you that you enjoy being there and that when you walk away. But it also matters, people need to know that they matter. If you think the fellow who's named after a burger, the burger's named after him, sorry, doesn't matter to the people at Mama's, he does. He matters a lot. They love it. They love seeing that person. They expect to see that person. If they don't see that person, they notice. So that affiliation thing and the agency piece, it's all a mutual, it's a mutual experience. I think it's important for people to know that. When we talk about the people we support, you matter too. Don't think that you don't matter. When you don't show up, it matters. And so that's the other thing, to recognize that you do matter once you are affiliated. But so you also know you're helping other people, which also feeds our soul. You hear, I don't remember what the percentage is, but you've heard Mary and Sarah say that helping other people, you know, gives you this much more dopamine than, you know, when you're being helped.
It's like, Rachel, I feel like my job, it's therapy for me.
Yeah.
You know, I absolutely love my job.
I mean, I think it does feed us. You know, there is, so there's the vicarious trauma piece, but then there's the piece of it matters. You know, what I'm doing, people want to give back. You're able to help people. You're able to listen. You know, I think half of our job is listening, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
So affiliation and then you. And I say you, but I also mean for you, I mean other people matter too, mm-hmm. Right? What other people, you know, just feeling like there's a place to go, like there's somebody who cares, like there's somebody listening. You feel safe with somebody is so important. I can go into a co-worker's office in my hallway and I feel very safe talking to her. I don't feel, you know, nervous about revealing things. I think that matters. I share these things because I think it's also, we have to assess which one of these we have strengthened and which ones we do not. So self-care is also about us assessing that. So when we're talking to ourselves, we have to say, what's missing here? And what can I do to build that? You know, do I have any idea what I want? And then how do I discover that? How do I have the courage to expose myself to things so that I can discover that? Because if we don't expose ourselves to things, if we don't get off the couch and go do it, then that's where we stay. And we don't build those things. So I think it's okay to say to families, this has to be intentional. This is really something that has to be intentional. But also for ourselves. Because if we don't believe it, we're not going to be able to teach it. I'm not saying we have to live it. I'm saying living it is something that's harder. We need to live it, but I also know that it's not easy for us to live it. But also recognizing that, you know, and really believing that is so important. One way we start identifying, right, what to put in your safety plan, and you know, a safety plan is something that you're doing on the spot. The only difference between this and self-care is that this is something you're saying, wow, when I feel this way, I'm going to do one of these things. A self-care plan is really something you're doing to prevent the need for this in some ways. But it's all very similar. So asking yourself, really putting this on paper and saying, what activities soothe you? You know, what is it that you look at, that you do, that you smell and that you hear that make you happy? But what are the things? What are you rooted in? What are the things that are so important to you that feed your soul? What's the music? There are times, like this morning, I can't remember what the music was, what the tune was, but it was in my head. It might have been, it's the end of the world if you know. I'm just kidding.
No, it's going to be in all of our heads.
The end of the world as we know it. But you know, sometimes, right, if you're feeling that way, good to hear. You know, you put that tune on.
That's one that was in my head this morning, by the way.
Oh, you're
that way by Journey.
Are you kidding? Oh, that's too funny.
That is hysterical.
But really, you know, so I go into my office and I listen to that too. And it somehow speaks to me. What music gives me joy? I love to go out and listen to the blues. I love the people who sing the blues. I love that community. That's what feeds me. It makes me happy. And I'm connected to it somehow. Who are you gonna call? Who can you call? And I think that's something that a lot of the people that we support really struggle with. Who do I call? Who I can feel okay about calling, who aren't gonna be irritated with me, who, you know what I mean, aren't gonna judge me, who aren't gonna tell me what I should do. Who are those people? And that is a really difficult one. So intentionally thinking about this and putting it down on paper and then doing it, I mean, that's what you do with people, right, Chanel? Except maybe you do different assessments.
We do different assessments, but that's a sense of what we do. Yeah, we get a feeling for what, you know, what is gonna lift them up.
Right. We need to do the same thing. This is why this helps us. This is exactly why this helps us. We need to do the same thing for us. You know, we can't instruct people to do it if we don't believe it. And so we need to be doing the same thing. I never thought I'd be a person who believed that this information that I learned at these trainings are a lived experience for me. But over the past probably 5 years, that's changed. Because of this trauma-responsive care, informed care training.